Welcome to the City Point Church podcast. Thanks for joining us. Every day is an opportunity to take hold of. So we hope this message inspires you and builds your faith, that it helps you have more of a God perspective for your day. Enjoy.
God has greater things for my life. There is always opposition. Every time. It's not something that should surprise us. For those of you who know the call of God for your life, or you have an understanding of the purpose of why you're here, why God puts you on the planet in this time, because every single one of us can say, like Esther, that we've been put here for such a time as this. Because you are, it's no accident that you're here on the planet at this time, right here in this house, connected in this community. It was all purposed by God. So what I have become aware of as I have grown in faith and in maturity is that when you understand and you begin to operate in what God has got for your life, you will always, that's the key word, always have opposition, every time. And so today I'm going to bring a word at the conclusion of our purpose-driven life theme that is about opposition. And the reason I'm going to do this is over the last number of months, we've had the opportunity through the themes of our church to unpack that we as believers are called to more. In the theme before purpose-driven life, it was called Greater Things, and I love it. For those of you who've downloaded the song, the new song by City Point, Great Things, you will see that there is a theme around our church, and it's for a reason. Coming out of COVID or coming out of the isolated lockdown stages of this pandemic, what we found all over the world in so many churches is that many people did not return to services, or they were hesitant to return, or even had filled the space of coming out to honor God in the house of God, or to come and give their gifts and talents and to serve one another and serve as the body of Christ. There was a delay or a stepping back from this because opposition came during COVID, and yet we focused on the opposition instead of the purpose. But God is doing in this great shaking or this now rebuilding of the body of Christ out of COVID, He is doing a call out. He's going, Jody, I've got more for you, and I'm calling it out. There are greater things on your life. You will have a voice that will speak, and it will set people free when you speak truth. He's going to come along, and He's going to say, you are good, but good is not good enough. Don't get offended at it. There are greater things for you. You are good. But when you're called to greater things, it doesn't make who you are bad. You're just called for greater things. Do you know, at this time in our world, the reason why many people didn't return is because they were offended that they were called good, but required to do greater things. But His body, Christ's body, you and I, to influence our world for good and for God, to be able to touch the harvest field that we walk into tonight, we're required to do greater things. And it comes through knowing our purpose, which is our current theme right now, purpose-driven life. Do you know, when you very first begin to operate, do you know, I would take it even before that, before the step of beginning to walk in your purpose. When you decide to step into the purpose God has on your life, for some of us, we're not even sure we can clarify it nicely to write it out in a sentence what the purpose is. But when we decide, yes, I'm going to do what God wants me to do with my life, it is inevitable. Not just inevitable, it is almost predictable that opposition will come your way immediately. Many people I know who, we've Graham and I get the opportunity to speak with lots of other people who minister as we do, like pastors. And from the greatest things they do, like the faith of going, do you know what? We're going to claim a building. You should see what our life has looked like since the moment Graham decided we were going to claim a building. That was months before you ever knew we were even going to. It was months before we knew we were ever going to. But the minute he went, I'm not going to look for something available. I'm going to claim something that we want. You should see what happened. Opposition comes when you step into your purpose, which is where my message comes from this morning. And just like Gray unpacked a message last week through a very large body of scripture, I'm going to do the same because it makes me look as smart as him. As educated, no, I'm kidding. In this season, there has been some incredible books in the Old Testament that have really spoken to Gray and I, given us direction, Daniel being one of them. But there is something found in Nehemiah's story that I would love to unpack this morning, and it is about this, because this incredible man received a word from God about an assignment that he was to do. It's clear as day. For those of you who have never read or never heard about Nehemiah in the Old Testament, it's very, very easy. Before I get into the passage, I'll just unpack where they are at the time. But basically, the walls of Jerusalem are decimated. For so long, they had come under siege from everyone. Literally, if you read the chapter before, everybody had taken a bit. Everybody had come in to claim something and carted things away. They had laid siege on this city for so long. Everybody had dominion over it. It was open because the walls were destroyed. And so they were sitting unguarded. But when God's got something bigger for you and I, there is going to have to be a moment where we guard that assignment. So Nehemiah is given the commission by God to rebuild the city walls, to protect this city. You and I will be given assignments to rebuild things in order to protect the assignment on your life, but also for others. And so at this stage in history, he is given this commission to rebuild the city walls, and so he begins this work. And this is what happens. I'm going to read through this passage in Nehemiah 6, which you'll see on the screens, and I'm going to stop throughout it and explain it in 2020's analogy, all right? It says in Nehemiah 6, verse 1, "Now, when Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem the Arab, and the rest of our enemies had heard that I had rebuilt the wall and that there was no breach left in it, although at that time I had not yet set up the doors and the gates, they sent word to me saying, 'Come, let's meet together.' But they were planning to harm me. Distractions to move you away from your purpose will be the number one opposition that comes first. Anything to call you away from the work that you're to do. So I sent messages to them saying, 'I am doing a great work and cannot come down. Why should the work stop while I leave to come down to meet with you?' They sent word back to me four times in this way, and I answered them in the same way." So then, one gets really clever. "Then Sanballat sent his servant to me in the same way a fifth time. And in this, he came with an open letter in his hand, and in it was written, 'It is reported.'" Oh, for the times I've heard, "I heard that you said." Have you actually made the decision? "It is reported." Everyone is saying. Oh. Everyone is saying. I love this, because this is what it looks like today. This is what it looks like in your world. You've heard it whenever it's everybody is saying. "It is written." I'm finding my spot. "It is written. It is reported among the neighboring nations." Everybody. "And Gashmu is saying that you and the Jews are planning to revolt. and that this is the reason that you're rebuilding the wall. And according to these reports, you are to be their king. Also, it is reported that you have appointed prophets and made a proclamation concerning you in Jerusalem, saying, there is a king in Judah. And now these things will be reported to the Persian king. Let me give you a rundown of what this looks like today. Opposition is in your face. It is sourced through those who know you most often. It comes with accusation. It comes with things that have never before come out of your mouth. It's often a surprise to us because I think, I'm going to be really honest, sometimes I think, who in the room knows they're creative? Does anybody know that they're creative? The creative team should all have their hands up. They're creative. God uses our creative gifts in the most incredible ways. In just the same way the enemy uses our creative gifts to make up the most creative, abhorrent, ridiculous, creative stories. Don't be offended that I've said the enemy is used. If you are a spiritual being, you have access to both sides. Everything you think is either from him or from. There's no such thing as a Mel thought. Thank goodness. It's either something that's come from God and I've allowed, or something that has come as an opposition from the enemy to move me and get me distracted, and I've allowed it. The Bible says we can choose life or death. It doesn't say we can choose somewhere in the middle. We choose life or death. We speak life or death. We act in life or death. Every time. So we're operating in the spirit. We're partnering with the enemy and what he says about our lives. Because he's got something to say. Just like God's got something to say. I'm totally lost out of my notes. Let me find it. Let me tell you how Nehemiah responds. I love this. He says in response to this accusation, such things as you are saying have not been done. You are inventing them up in your own mind. For they all wanted to frighten us and have us thinking they will become discouraged with the work and it will not be done. There's a purpose on why we have opposition. But now, O God, strengthen my hands. This is where it gets really crazy, because up till now in this passage, Nehemiah is describing the opposition of the obvious enemy opposing other towns and nations. But it says, when I went to the house of Shema, a trusted friend and prophet who is confined at home, he said, let us meet and take refuge together in the house of God within the temple, and let us shut the doors of the temple because they are coming to kill you, and they're coming to kill you at night. Sometimes the opposition is not by an obvious enemy. Sometimes it's by those who are a little closer to home. A trusted friend and prophet. This is his response. But I said, should a man like me flee in fear and hide? Should someone like me enter the temple for sanctuary to save his own life? I will not go. Then I realized that God had, I love that it's then I realized. He didn't know it before, so he didn't act because he knew. He did it because he had authority. Then I realized that God had not sent him. But he spoke this prophecy against me because Tobiah and Sambalay had his ear. Because the enemy had the ear of the trusted friend. How many times? I know there have been many times that I've had words spoken that the enemy has cleverly placed on other people's lips and they've come through a trusted friend. This is why we need the Holy Spirit. Because discernment in the Holy Spirit will either cement it in our spirits and encourage us on in the work we're to do, or they'll come in opposition. This is what I love about this. So all of this has happened. It sounds quite dismal for Nehemiah when he's got a really big job to do already. Then it says, for he was hired he was hired for this very reason, that I would be frightened and do as he said and sin. So then they would have grounds to make a malicious report in order to censor and disgrace me. I love that it says that, because before they've already accused him of what he's doing. But later in the passage it said, for then they would have grounds, which means they didn't have grounds to discredit him. Now they're trying to find grounds. Opposition is going to try to call you and get you discouraged and out of position so that it does actually have grounds to discredit you. But this is what it says. Nehemiah responds with this. Remember, oh my God, Tobiah and Sambalay in regards to this, their actions. And also remember the prophetess Noadiah and all of the other prophets who are trying to frighten me. Who's he given his opposition to? God. With the opposition that has been given to him, he says, remember, O God, and he gives it to him. Who handles our opposition? When we leave our assignment to handle it ourselves, I'm telling you now, it gets us distracted and off course, and we stop building the wall. But when opposition comes, it has got to go to just one place, to God. Hand it to God. Remember, oh my God, what they have done. I leave it with you. And all, yeah, there's the powerful five words when he's done this action. Remember, oh my God, to deal with my opposition. Five words. So the wall was finished. So the wall was finished. On the 25th day of the month, in just 52 days. When all our enemies heard about it and the Gentile nations around us saw it, they see the fruit. They lost their confidence, for they recognized that this work had been accomplished with the help of the Lord. Your fruit will speak if you are operating in the purpose and call that God has on your life, regardless of the opposition. But do you know that the craziest thing is although these five amazing words have come out in Nehemiah's story, so the wall was finished, the opposition did not stop. The passage goes on for one more paragraph and says this. The work is done, the fruit speaks for itself, and then it says, moreover, in those days, many letters went out from the nobles of Judah to Tobiah, and Tobiah's letters came to them. Also, they were speaking about Tobiah's good deeds in my presence and reporting to him what I had said. Then Tobiah sent letters to me to frighten me. Just for context, Tobiah is a noble in Judah within his people. Opposition comes in so many different forms, but God has an agenda for our purpose. He has kingdom purposes for every single one of us. And so this is what I want to unpack this morning. There comes a time in our journey of walking in our assignment when we have to make a decision. We have to decide if opposition to our purpose is going to be an opportunity or an excuse to leave the purpose. The mere presence of opposition against your assignment is an indication that you are moving in the right direction. The root word of opposition is opposite. And if you're moving forward, opposition's sole purpose is to pull you back. If you are experiencing opposition in the rebuilding or stepping forward in the purpose and plan that God has on your life, then you are not alone. You are in good company. When we have been called to grow, press forward, build, or rebuild, there will be an opposition to the process. If we fix our attention, our actions, our conversations on the opposition, we will miss the opportunity and the plan and purpose that God has on our life. We will step out of it. We don't always want to find out how strong we are. I'm going to be really honest. Sometimes I'd really love to know that I have untapped strength, but never have to exercise it. Does anybody else feel the same? It's fair to feel like that. However, when it comes to our purpose and the assignment that God has for our life, we have to guard it just as Nehemiah did. That will require from us a boldness, an authority, and a strength. Believe it or not, for those of you who know me well, you know me as a fairly confident, strong woman. But when I was younger, I was known as a timid person. For those of you who've met our daughter, Annie, you'll see this exhibited in her life. So by nature, we are, I'm not sure how you describe it, but we are like extrovert introverts. And what I mean by that is we're energized by both, but we have to choose to be confident and bold and courageous. It doesn't come by default. And so the reason I share this with you today is because when I was younger, I've known Christ most of my life, but when I was younger, I operated from a place of timidity for many years, actually. And I had a revelation as a young adult woman that this was a counterfeit version of what God had planned for my life. The enemy always operates or works out of counterfeit. Always. And so if you find in your own life that there is a default pattern of behavior or a default way that you do, you can often look at it and go, does this give glory to God? And if it doesn't, your purpose or the way you've been designed is the complete opposite for how you're functioning right now. There are many times in my life where I've gone, I'm undone at this moment. So whatever I'm doing in my life, not the circumstances of my life, but whatever I am doing, my responses, my conversations, my actions must require the opposite to what I am actually outworking in my life right now. Because the plan and purpose for God in your life will give him glory. And it can't give him glory if you are out, if you've been taken out, if you've been offended, if you've stepped out of the plan and call of, on your life. It can't give him glory. And so it's actually a self-check for each and every one of us this morning to go, am I operating out of right now who God's called me to be, who he says I am? Or am I operating out of the counterfeit version that the enemy's placed there and says, this is who you are? Do you know the Holy Spirit will reveal this to you if you're, I'm struggling with this. Is it because of circumstances or is it because the enemy will place right in front of you a counterfeit version of who you have been called to be? It was in this season that my father gave me a verse. This is just how he was and how he operated. Each of us had a verse. But I was not really young when he gave me my verse, but I understand why he gave me this verse, because he saw the counterfeit version and he called out the greater things in my life. So he gave me Joshua 1:9. Now all my passages this morning are from the Amplified Version because I love the translation for Nehemiah's story this morning. And so I'm reading from Amplified with every one of the translations, but this is the word that he gave to me that I speak over you this morning. Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified or dismayed or intimidated, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Ephesians 6:10 says, in conclusion, be strong in the Lord. Draw your strength from him and be empowered through your union with him and in the power of his boundless might. Not yours, his. He's the one who has boundless might. After we have seen the vision, understood the purpose, begun to walk in our assignment, and become dedicated in it, we will require a strength, but this strength does not come from us. It is not in and of ourselves, but our strength is from the giver of life, Jesus Christ. For when we are weak, he is made strong. 2 Corinthians 12:10, so I am well pleased with weakness, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, and with difficulties for the sake of Christ. For when I am weak in human strength, then I am strong, fully, truly able, truly powerful, truly drawing from God's strength. Do you know, he's not expecting you to complete the purpose and assignment on your life without his assistance. He knows that we don't have the ability to do it alone. He wants the assignment to strengthen us in ways that we never knew was possible in our lives. He wants us to lean on his understanding regarding the who, what, when, where, how, concerning the work he's given us. Proverbs 3:5 says, "Trust in and rely confidently on the Lord with all your heart, and do not rely on your own insight or understanding." He wants to bypass our own self-imposed limitations by his strength so that we can see just how big he really is. The assignments on our life can be limitless. You know, sitting within this room is the possibility, the capability, the call, purpose, plan set by God for so many great things in this world. I kind of think about it, and there will be people sitting here today who have a book in them. You've never written anything like that before, but you've got it in you. God's got a plan and a purpose for it to come out. There are people here today and you've got an album in you that gives him glory. You may have never even written the words or the melody and put it to paper before, but he's got a plan and purpose there. There are people in this room who will have the ears of kings, government officials, and you will come alongside them with godly wisdom. That's in this room today. You might be sitting beside them. There will be people here today who witness and share Jesus Christ with one person who will carry that, one person who will carry it to tens of thousands of people. That's found within this room. Within this room is people who have never studied. Maybe you left school early and you've got a master's degree in you. In this room, there is lead acting roles when you've never ever done a drama class. In this room, there are businesses even though you've only worked for somebody else. The assignments are limitless, yet the strength from God, the seemingly impossible becomes possible. What seemingly impossible task has God given you to fulfill? In chapter 6 of Nehemiah, we not only get to see the opposition or the confrontation to Nehemiah's purpose, but we also get to see the conclusion of his assignment. We get to see the fruit. I love this chapter. It's a passage that allows us to see our authority required in guarding the assignment we've been given. It also allows us to see how involved God is in the process of it. Nehemiah expresses his awareness on some very real situations. He exposes hidden agendas, and he allows us to see a very real authority exercised when walking out the purpose on his life and therefore the victory in it. Here is what we need to catch this morning. The enemy tried to stop Nehemiah with lies, fear, slander, intimidation, and distraction so that he would not rebuild the walls. Some of these were by known enemies and some of them by trusted friends. Yet Nehemiah's response is exactly what each and every one of us can have revelation about this morning. He did the three things. He continued the work with greater determination. Number one. Number two, he gave the opposition to God for him to deal with. He didn't try and deal with it. And number three, he completed the work which gave God the glory. It shouts in the face of opposition. When you step into it with greater determination, when you hand off the opposition to the Father and you complete the good work that he's got called for your life. All of those things were set in motion when he said one line in this passage, "I am engaged in a great work, so I cannot come down. I cannot be pulled out. I cannot be distracted. I cannot be offended. I do not need to go and justify. I do not need to be vindicated. I just need to continue this great work." These words have literally transformed my life and how I outwork the purpose of God on my life. And used in context, to the work that God has given specifically to you to complete, my prayer is that there will be revelation and transform your life as well. After reading Nehemiah's story and realizing that there was nothing superhuman about Nehemiah, about him, except that he walked out the purpose and his assignment with authority and focus, I can't but help get excited about what God can do in our lives if we do the same. Your yes could transform your family, your workplace, your school, your community, and this world. Your yes is not about however you being glorified. It is about how God will be glorified. You do not need to be afraid of what your yes will produce, because there is no fear in perfect love, the one who does it with us. 1 John 4:18 says, there is no fear in love. Dread does not exist, but perfect, complete, full-grown love drives out fear, because fear involves the expectation of divine punishment. So, the one who is afraid of God's judgment is not perfected in love, has not grown in a sufficient understanding of God's love. The lover of your soul has an assignment for you that you do not need to fear. Good is not good enough. Don't be offended at it. Step into greater things. I love that at the end of verse 16, Nehemiah says this, a very important statement that takes all of the pressure out of our assignments. It says, they realized this work had been done with the help of their God. It is because of God's help that we can complete the great work that He has called us to do. It is because of God's help that our vision is revealed, our purpose is clear, our assignment is released, and we are able to remain focused on being dedicated to see the work through. It is also the fruit that shouts in the face of opposition that you are facing in this present time. Nehemiah's response to all of the distractions trying to call him out and get him out of position is, I cannot come down. I can't come down. It's about knowing that what you're working on is something greater than you, and determining that no matter what disruption, distraction, or opposition, you must complete whatever God has called you to do. You cannot move or lose your position. You must know that what you're building is far more important than your response to intimidation, negativity, lies, communication, offense, or even seeming failure. I cannot come down means that none of these things become the stopping place for the work God wants to do through your life. So for each and every one of us this morning, now is our time to step from good into great. As Pastor Simeon commissioned us a couple of weeks ago, congratulations, you've got the job. And it's a great work that needs you to continue in it. Don't be distracted by the opposition. Don't be surprised that there is opposition when you step into the call and plan and purpose that God has for your life. Be diligent until He gives you another word of what to do. Because those who are found diligent will receive multiple assignments. They will. With God, nothing is impossible. So step into your purpose and your assignment with focus and authority. It's time to be bold and courageous. Not a counterfeit version, but exactly who God called you to be. John 15:15, as I close this morning, it says, I do not call you servants any longer, for the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you my friends, because I've revealed everything that I have heard from my Father to you. Do you know, right now, I know that in our services today, there are many sitting here, and you've been reminded while this word has come out today of the plan that God has for your life. You know the purpose that He has called you to do. For some of you, it's super obvious through the gifts that He's placed on your life. And today is a day of a calling out to say, good was good, but it is just that, I've called you to greater things. It's time to step up. It's time to step forward. It's time to step into the purpose that God has for your life. For others of you, you've listened to this word and you've maybe doubted, going, I do not know what the plan and purpose is for my life from God. Do you know that you've been given gifts and talents, and others around you would even be able to recognize them? They flow from you by default and you won't even realize it. Why don't you come alongside another believer and ask for wisdom around what it is? And you know, Graham always says this, and I love that he does, have the faith that when you ask the Holy Spirit, what have you called me to do? He will answer. He does. Remember, I spoke earlier in the message. You will have one of two thoughts. Something that gives him glory and something that removes you from the purpose. Life or death. Choose life. Choose life. Choose the purpose God has got for your life. Can we close our eyes this morning? I'd love to pray for each and every person, because I really felt as I was preparing this word that many are facing that obvious opposition at this time. But God wants to encourage you this morning, like Nehemiah. The response to it is to keep being about the great work. Give the opposition to him. He'll deal with it. And complete the task. Complete the assignment. Complete the purpose that God has for your life. Father, right now, I thank you for your word. I thank you that you are true to your word. I thank you that it has gone out and it is settled in spirits, and that you will do with it exactly what you want to do with it in each and every purpose, in every purpose person's life, because you know where they are at in their journey. God, right now I pray for an incredible mantle of purpose to come on every single person. Make it clear and plain for them this morning exactly what you have for their lives. And Lord God, I pray that this revelation of how to deal with the opposition that comes when we start to step into it, I pray that it will settle in our spirits and in our minds and would recall the minute we see it, that we go, ha-ha, I know exactly what I'm called to do in this moment. I will continue about the great work that you have called me to do. I pray for a strength and a boldness to come over every single person as they continue to do this great work through to its completion. God, would you pour your spirit out into each one and give them an authority to speak against opposition when it comes, where they can call it out with discernment and say, no, I know this for what it is. I'm going to continue to go about what I'm supposed to be doing. Give us a strength and a tenacity in your spirit, God, to walk out everything that you have called and planned and purposed for our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.